Hey, what's up, everybody? Juan Martinez, aka Dr. Love, and you've just joined us on This Is Real.
Hey, what's up, man? Listen, the struggle to trust. I got Pastor Ernesto with me, and we're talking about trusting in the Lord.
Amen.
So I'm going to read this verse, Proverbs 3, 5, 6. Most people know it. I started thinking about it a little bit differently today, but we'll get into that, you know, as this unfolds.
Yeah.
Right? Trusting in the Lord, right? It rolls off the tongue really easy. So trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not rely on your own understanding. In all your ways, know him. Or in some translations, acknowledge him. Yeah. And he will make your path straight. So not halfway, not with conditions. Pretty much the all-in mentality,
full
right?
Surrender.
Yeah. So don't rely on your understanding. You know, which I have a book come, you know, this is, hey, I got the shirt, the book. It talks a lot about that. It talks a lot about pretty much where we miss it because we walk by sight and not by faith. And a lot of times we seem to rely on our own understanding. Cause I asked the guys the question this morning and I was like, hey, why is it that, do you struggle with trusting the Lord?
I think we all do.
Yeah. But how much? Like, do you trust the Lord?
Yeah, I trust the Lord. But then there's things that I feel like instinctively I lean on my own understanding. I just been living a certain way for so long that by default, I lean on what I understand and what I know. You know, that we walk by faith, not by sight, is not necessarily by what we see, but by how we see. So, if I've lived life from a certain perspective for so long, when something takes place, I revert to how I see, you know. And
totally.
And God challenges that, you know. And even in the good times sometimes, he's asking you to, hey, now I need you to trust me in this. And it's not the easiest of tasks.
Yeah, I mean, well it's in everything, right? Yeah. So by sight is more like what we see from a human perspective, right? Your past experiences, how you feel, your reasoning,
tradition,
and logic.
All that.
Yeah, all that, right? So, you know, even when you're walking out, you know, because when you're walking it out, you know, I feel like the Bible's written because our first instinct is to lean on our own instinct or anything, right? Maybe nobody's quick to listen, but he tells you, hey, be quick to listen. In that same meeting this morning, I was said, look, here's the thing. Like, let's take a simple verse like that. I guess it's simple once you keep doing it. But I mean, every now and then you're going to struggle with certain things depending on the pressure, right? We see the country. See all of the stuff that happens. And usually in those moments when you're frustrated or you're angry or you're. So if you take the verse, be quick to listen and slow to speak. To say you trust in the Lord, that means that in the moment when you don't want to do that,
you do it
because you don't lean on what you understand. Because the crazy part is that when you're looking at this, you know, God's ways are always higher.
Yeah.
Right? His thoughts, it says his ways and his thoughts. And I remember talking to a guy once that, you know, he was a pastor. And
is he sitting next to you?
It wasn't you. But I was having this conversation, and he was pretty much, because we had started the men's home at that time, we had went, and we did that. And I personally felt like I did it because in my prayer closet, God told me to do it.
Amen.
And we did it twice. Same home. Two different occasions. We had turned it into the offices, you know, all kinds of stuff. Well, when the person spoke to me, he was like, yeah, you know, I forgot how we got in the conversation, but he was like, man, you haven't been that good at, because what you did here didn't work. And I was like, says who?
Yeah.
I mean, he's looking at it from it didn't work from a successful, right?
Yeah, logically.
Uh-huh. I'm like, man, no, it worked. Like, we needed it as offices, so it served the purpose there. We needed it then. Obviously, my son Jonathan actually caught a revelation and actually changed while there. Well, it was only him and there was nobody else, him and another person. That's why all of a sudden he marries, you know, Stephanie. Yeah. So all of these things that I see throughout the context of time, I'm like, it matured me in a place that I learned stuff that I couldn't read in a book.
Yeah.
So, like, and then we sold it, and it kind of worked out too, right? At the season that we needed to sell it, right?
Amen.
I'm saying all that because trusting God when he tells you to do something, most of the times doesn't fit
what you're thinking or how you're thinking.
Because if it did, then
it wouldn't be trusting in God.
It wouldn't be trusting in the Lord. It'd be your own logic. Yeah. The crazy part is that's when you're I feel like when you trust in the Lord with all your heart, don't lean on your understanding, acknowledge him in all your ways, right? In the areas where we're leaning on understanding, those are the areas that are crooked.
Oh, that's fire. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because the opposite of that is, okay, so
that's why we never get it right.
We never get it right.
Because we're constantly leaning on ourselves, and we're constantly facing the same thing, doing the same things, and getting the same outcomes. We just think we're like, I'm doing something new. Nah, you haven't trust. You're still trusting on your own strength and your own understanding. Mm-hmm. I think that's why even like from the perspective of forgiveness, grace, and mercy, like those things become difficult because we're trying to apply them from our own understanding, you know?
Totally.
Even transformation, like in the prisons, when you're trying to see life from a different perspective or from a place of freedom. Like if you're trying to see those things from your perspective or what you consider freedom, it's going to become difficult.
Yeah. I looked up this morning just to get, you know, I was looking up. I said, man, batak is the word for trust, which means to be confident, secure, rely on, to feel safe. It's not passive. It's an active choice to lean fully on God, believing he is faithful and good. Letting go of control and believing God's wisdom is higher than yours.
It's an active word.
It's a definite active word, right?
So would you say leaning on our own understanding is a passive? Are leaning on our own understanding is passive?
Or it's comfort. It's definitely comfort. Because whenever God speaks, it challenges you. You know, I had wrote down Peter casting the net in Luke 5. He was tired. You know, he tells him to put it on the other
side. Right? It's stuff. Fishing all day, Lord.
And they're professional fishermen.
Yeah, facts.
Right? Because you got to catch that. These guys are professional fishermen, and they could be like, they could so easily be like, start giving them all the terms.
Yeah. And even challenge him because, like, I've never seen you fish. But like, bro, I created them things. What you mean?
Yeah. They catch a miracle because they made a decision to do something that would not fit their paradigm or their thinking or their logic. Yeah, they would not fit. They were like, all right. And they throw it on the other side and boom, they catch all kinds of fish. Yeah. Or peace in the storm when you see Jesus asleep in the boat. And it's funny because you see him in the boat and a lot of times we think that peace is the absence of the storm. But when you see him in the boat, he didn't remove the storm.
Yeah.
The storm was still there.
Yeah.
He was just still,
he was there. Peace is not the absence of, what you say? Trouble. It's his presence in the trouble.
Yeah.
His assurance.
All day long. Because I've learned, there were moments where I had a lot of like contracts open and stuff like that. And I was like on vacation and I had what I would consider no peace. Right. Because I was focused on all the stuff.
Yeah.
Then I had moments where I should have had no peace and I was super at peace. Yeah,
chilling.
Yeah. So it is his presence, right? It's always his presence. It's always about his presence in everything that we do, you know?
Prince of Peace.
You know, we don't trust God with, we say, you know, I had the experience last year and I had just, a friend of ours just got like an X7 BMW, right? And she's like really happy. And so I go, hey, I want you to imagine something. It was pretty funny because she just got it. And she's like, oh, my God, my car, right? And I go, okay, I want you to imagine a year later, you pay it off, and then all of a sudden God tells you to give it away. Right? So these things that, right? And she put like, this crazy face, and she's like, no, you know, no way. And I'm like, yeah, but here's the thing. See, those are the times, I'll give you another setting. I was in a time where I felt like the Lord was telling us to stop the Spanish service and just do certain things. Now, I was in relationship with the pastor. I love the pastor. I still love the pastor. Pastor Sylvester, you know, big shout out. And so in that season, I was thinking so much of like, oh, about him and like, what is God, you know, oh my God, like I really wanted him to be good. And so I wind up sitting at a round table with pastors. And this one pastor, you know, he's talking. And I hear it clearly. I'm like, man, you don't trust in the Lord.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm telling him. And so I'm like, and this is why. And he gets a little like, man, no, you know. And then somebody else, yeah, you know, yeah, yeah. When it got to me and I was explaining, you know, I said, well, you know, I have this, I feel like the Lord is telling me to do this, you know. I feel like this is a season for him and his family. You know, I just really feel like God is telling me to do this. And so they all look at me and they go, you don't trust in the Lord. Where's it at? Okay, in all your ways know him.
Yeah,
in all your ways know him. I think it's just him, yeah. Powerful when you the fact that you're like, this is gonna happen regardless. The Hebrew boys, they're in the fire.
Yeah, we ain't
and
tripping.
If he don't,
yeah, facts,
I trust that this is part of his plan.
Yeah.
If I perish, I perish. I'm gonna go I'm gonna see the king.
I'm graduating, going to heaven.
Yeah, man. So when you don't trust God, you probably look like anxiety drives every decision.
Confused.
Confused. Control freak.
Mm.
You withhold from God because of fear of lack. Right.
That's fire.
Bitterness when prayers don't get answered your way. You know, I always say, you know, you can't look at the way something is packaged.
Yeah.
You can't. Because God will package. He knows exactly. His sovereignty will get you. Let's say one dude goes to Dallas, he jumps on 45, and right? And then another dude. And then with you, he's like, yeah, I need to mature him in this area, this area, and this area. You know, this guy might have got to Dallas straight, but when he gets there, he has to go through some other stuff because God's trying to mature him,
for him, as a son.
So he's disciplining once they get there. This guy, he's got some areas that has to get matured first before he even takes the drive. So he makes you go like this. He makes you go downtown, right? His sovereignty is still to get you to Dallas.
Yeah.
Right?
It's just that I know I need to get you like this before I get you there.
All day long, because if not, by the time you get there, this guy might fall big time, right? So he might take you around because you're not ready for some of those battles. These guys, they've had those battles already, so they're going to go through. And then when they get there, they have different battles they got to face according to where they're at. And so the thing is that we see those two guys and we're like, praise the Lord.
Yeah.
I'm about to jump 45. And then he takes you all the way to Massachusetts, you know, Boston. And you're like, this doesn't even look like the direction we were going to go. And we start complaining start going like, God, I don't even want to. Right. And right there, he's showing you your heart.
Yeah, that's why I got you going like this.
That's exactly why I got to take you all the way to Boston, you know. Yeah, all day long. Yeah, all day long, man. He makes our path straight. On the flip side, when you lean on what you understand, your path gets crooked. There's confusion, as you said, detours, wasted years. You know, I've said this message a billion times, and it's because I feel like it's a heart message for me. When I in trusting God, you got to be okay with, no matter how long, you're trusting with the outcome.
Yeah.
Right? Like you're trusting that he knows what you need best.
You know, even interesting in the fact that he's the author of it. You know, I think that's an empowering place to live from. Like, as I mature in Christ and as I go along in my life, like, I've surrendered to the fact that I don't live for me anymore.
Mm.
You know, like, he's not a character in my story. I'm a character in his.
Yeah.
You know, and ultimately it's his plan. It's his story of redemption through Christ, and I get to play a part in it. So whatever that looks like, it's what it looks like.
Totally.
I ultimately have to be okay with it and be a living sacrifice to whatever he got going on. And I think that even gives you an assurance, because if you, like Abraham, if you know his character, if you know how good he is, if you know that he resurrects, if you know he don't fail, why isn't that the empowerment that I'm using to be like, okay, yes, sir, you know?
That's good stuff, man. You wind up, my shortcut, long cut. You know, you've heard me say that before. You know, sometimes we think that you know, taking a shortcut in something is the best way to do it, especially when you come from most of your life of taking shortcuts, you know. But the long way, let's say it seems like God's taking you the long way, right? So let's say you get in a relationship, you know, and next relationship, you're hurt, but you get in another one. Like, rather than stopping, because in our mind, you think like, oh, it's going to take me like a year. Like, you know, somebody tells you, hey, sit for a year, or don't do that for a year.
Yeah.
And we look at a year like it's 5,000 years, right? And so we try to jump out of that year prematurely, right? Because it always talks about let faith, you know, be mature in you and be complete.
Yeah.
And so we jump out of something early, and then we wind up in something that's messed up, right? You start making short-sighted decisions because our understanding is limited. And God always sees the whole picture. You know, you stand on top of the Empire State Building, and you can see four blocks down who's making a turn.
Yeah.
You with me?
You're like, wait.
Yeah. When you lean on yourself means you chase what looks right in the moment, but it ends up wrong in the long run, right? So a lot of times that feeling part, or what we choose to pick because something's taking too long, and we jump prematurely, looks right. And so I put this little example here, because Lot chose Sodom because it looked good for his flocks, but it destroyed his whole family. And there are a lot of times in the Bible where you see, you know, Abraham thinking, you know, I'm going to sell my wife, you know? like you think of these things, or, I mean, pretty much even Abraham, since we were talking about Abraham, think about he could have waited for God's promise.
Yeah.
He jacked that one up, right?
Yeah.
He did. Yeah. I mean, people are still fighting. Yeah. Muslims and all that are still fighting. Yeah, all day long over that guy's impatience.
Him and his wife.
Yeah, he winded up, hey, get me the servant. Let's have a baby, right? Because they didn't. Obviously, at that point, it wasn't fast enough.
Yeah.
And God's like, nah, God still gave him the promise, which is wild, right? Exactly. And people are still fighting today generationally because he decided, well, I'll take matters in my own hand. Yeah. And I think we do that a lot.
I was at the Airbnb this past weekend, and there's this map, and it says the journey to the promised land.
Mm-hmm.
And it shows their journey.
Yep.
But it shows like the starting point, and it shows like the ending point. And it's literally like this far on the map. But it shows their route, and it shows it going like this, like this, like this, like this, like this, like this. They pass it, they come back. And I was thinking about like what you were saying. Like sometimes the route may be short, but he's doing something in preparation for us getting there. Or sometimes it's just our own disobedience. Like we're trying to take matters into our own hand, or we're not content where he has us, or we're not trusting him that we're prolonging the process, or we're making our own obstacles, or we're causing our own hindrance. When really all we have to do is trust in God, no matter what it looks like, and we'll get to where he needs us to get.
Yeah, I think it's you that say, I think it's you. That's you. You say a lot like even if you missed it, it's you, right? You go, even if I miss it and I'm doing it unto the Lord.
Yeah.
Right?
He'll bless it.
He'll bless it.
In the sense of like, if I'm doing it unto God and something's happening that I'm like, that I don't agree with, or something's happening that maybe is not under whatever I think that is for me from him.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter because I'm doing it unto him.
Yeah. And all things work together, right?
Facts.
For those who love God. So if your posture is at a place where I love you, Lord, I'm doing this for you, I feel like he'll redirect.
Facts.
He'll get you to that place.
Yeah, he's sovereign.
He's sovereign.
Like I don't think he can jack anything up.
I feel like we jack it up. Facts. There's a scripture in Isaiah 26:3 that says, keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts you. And when you look at God's track record, man, he's like a trillion for a trillion. Like, you know, he's perfect.
Right? Undisputed.
He delivered Israel out of Egypt. He fed Elijah with the ravens, right?
Yeah.
Remember? He raised Jesus from the dead. He's done all these things. I know if you would have told me years ago that, you know, when I don't know, because, you know, in the beginning for me, even thinking like, you know, because I have these little moments and I feel like I've been having them lately, you know, maybe because I have a new book coming out. But I have these moments where I think about me being in Weatherford County or Mineral Wells or any other prisons that I kind of remember, because some of it is, I feel like, getting taken by new thoughts.
Yeah.
But remembering like you couldn't have told me that I was going to be living the life I'm living now, that I was even going to be pasturing or
sitting
like
right here on a podcast
talking to people about Jesus. I think we'll be on television a couple times, you know, in these major conferences of like, to where I'm like just being dependent upon Jesus leading me in those conversations. But for myself, I still see myself as Juan, you know, like, you know, this guy that came out. Like, I don't see myself still as an inmate.
Yeah.
But I'm still surreal. It's still surreal to me, where I'm like, man, this is crazy. So if you would have told me that, I would have said it was crazy.
No, that's God.
But it was God. Yeah, man. I'm still like in awe. I still don't believe some of the things that are happening in my life. But I know that all through that, like when we moved from Greens Point, it was, you know, me and Ruthie were talking about it, and it was like we moved. We had an apartment in Greens Point, super tiny. I could have took one step this way, one step this way, and the apartment was covered.
And like, that we testifies. Done. I feel like,
you know,
that in your life testifies for the people, for our brothers in prison.
Oh no, all day
like,
long.
Man, I can hear, nah, bro, like.
Yeah, no, I went to school when I had no money. Like literally, when we moved from Greens Point to Burnhamwood, like the apartments on the street, I just knew I couldn't have overhead in a sense, but like I can't take credit for none of it, because I joke and I go, I saw mansions at Turkey Creek. But in my heart, I felt like the Lord was like, you're going to move there. And so when I'm telling Ruthie this, we could barely make rent where we were at. And this was $200 more.
Yeah.
So you got to see what we're talking about right now, right?
Yeah.
She looks at me and she's like, because I'm like, and we're going to start a Bible study and it's going to be great. But I'm only saying that because I really felt impressed in my heart. So I only have a job that's paying me at this point as a grown man $300 a month. Okay, I need you to really grab a hold of what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I'm getting paid $300 a month. We're looking for a cheaper apartment, you know, in Greens Point, right? I want to move out of Greens Point. And I tell my wife that I'm going to leave my $300 a month job to start a Bible study because God said to move and start a Bible study. She looks at me like I'm crazy because her first comment to me was like, so what you're saying is you only make $300 a month. We barely can afford rent. And you're saying, we're going to move over here where it's more rent. And I'm like, yes. That's I'm telling you, that's exactly what I'm saying.
You got it.
Yeah, look, I don't know how to set up a work. I don't know nothing. Yeah. I just know, let's talk about the Bible. That's all I know. I didn't go to a planting a church conference. I didn't none of that, right? I'm like, okay, God, you know, I'm just happy that I'm not in prison, right? Yes. That's my only, like, I might have not had much, but I was so happy. That I'm like, man, I got a woman that loves me.
Yeah, I'm good.
I mean, come on, we're at the mansions. Yeah, I said, look, I rolled on that one. That sustained me. Knowing that, like, I said, he prepared a mansion for us. This is what this says, right?
Yeah.
And so we move and we start the Bible study. And, you know, the story unfolds, you know, 8, then 36. Then one day we're baptizing. It was like 100 people. You know, it just kept going. And then we're here today. But it hasn't stopped there. Like, you know, there was one time where I felt like the Lord told me again to move. He's like, hey, I want you to move towards Conroe. And I didn't listen. I wasn't obedient. Okay, so I got to give you the flip of a story. So I'm obedient. And then he tells me. And now I see, because our church probably would have been planted there.
Yeah.
And I see all the churches that have planted there and the buildings that they got, right? But he told me that before Harvey. Like, he told me that. And so I didn't listen, you know, because I was afraid. I didn't have, at this point, I have some people around me that are like, your wife needs a house. And I'm like, I'm cool in the apartment.
Yeah.
I went to somebody's house, somebody that used to be a gay rap. I went to their house and I remember them telling me they paid like $2,000 a month. And I was like, oh, that's awesome. And when I got in the car, I was like, you know, I was like freaking out because I'm like, what? Because I was paying like $1,000.
Yeah.
And I couldn't sell drugs anymore, right? So I'm like, oh, I can't sell drugs. You know, I'm like, how do you do this, man?
Where do you get that from?
And so I have a couple business guys that are like, your wife needs a house, man. You need to go. You need to move. So I went, you know, I was like, oh, no. No, those business guys weren't there. They came after Harvey. So Harvey hits Greg and them, Pastor Greg, and they start. Harvey hits and everything's flooded. So I got to move. And they've been telling me a little bit, hey, you got to move. You got to. And I'm like, well, where am I going to come out with the money? Like, and so they're like, God's going to take care of you. And I'm like, all right. So I go start looking at houses. And I felt like, I don't know, I'm like, Hurricane Harvey was for me. You know, like, I felt like I didn't listen. And he sent a hurricane. And literally
pushes me, get out.
And so I wind up doing it, and the rest is history. And every single one of those moves has helped somebody else. That's how I know, right? Because that same house pretty much moved. When I was moving out, Pastor Vinny to move in, and so he moved in. So it's that one move has helped multiple families, you know. So I think, like, a lot of times, you know, we're scared.
Yeah.
We're scared.
The unknown.
We don't believe that he's perfect. If we're going to be all, like, straight up, because in all those moves, it's just stuck. I'm like, you know, like, hey, what happened? In all those movements, like, man, they're scary.
Yeah.
And they don't look like, you know, because we think God sends you a check, you got the money, and then you move.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, even I know sometimes for me, the insurance of it. Like, what if it fails?
What if it fails?
What are we going to do? You're like, how am I going to, you know, bounce back from this? Like, I will do that, Lord, but there has to be an insurance plan. Like, the what ifs, you know what I'm saying?
All
like,
day long.
And even that is kind of like the whole, like, then you don't trust me, bro. Because you're still on the what ifs. I'm not a what if. Uh-uh. Like, I'm.
And if it failed, Yeah. You got to be like, this didn't fail because we fail forward. Like, from anything
there's something that
God
comes
tells
out of
you,
it.
Anything that God tells you to do has a ripple of, you know, maybe you don't catch it there, but somebody else meets you somewhere. What happened? Oh, well, I'm going to get you in this job. And then you wind up getting the job that you wanted that you didn't think, but it was because you were moving. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Ah! That's it. Hey, G, do you struggle with trusting the Lord? You do?
Yeah. I think everybody does.
How about you, April? You struggle?
Oh, yeah.
Well, you don't struggle no more. Like you will not get the new book. I'm told three words, you know.
And you will struggle no longer.
No struggle. Listen, you got to be okay with the that's God part. And that's the primary message of the book. That there's all these things that God says.
Yeah.
That if you don't take, you know, your surrender is to what he says, right? I was reading Proverbs 3 in the very beginning of this. Pretty much talks with the tone of a father that says, follow my instruction.
Yeah, that's fire. Come on, I got you. Like, why wouldn't you? I'm your father.
That's the beginning of this, right?
Yeah.
And so it's interesting because when you talk to your children.
Yeah, mijo, I talked to him this morning. And like, papi, like, I'm your dad. That's crazy, bro. I was telling him the same thing. Like, I love you.
And so you want him to take your advice, right?
Like, I'm not telling you anything that's going to destroy you.
And so God's looking at you like, hey, mijo.
You're like,
oh, man.
I said
that. Isn't
that
wild?
Yeah.
I just think that's, to me, it's like super crazy, man.
That's fire.
And so listen, I want how to build the trust. I wanted to give you a how to build the trust. You want to surrender daily? You want to say, God, I don't know what today holds, but I know you do. You want to remember his faithfulness? Something that I hear Ruthie a lot, and I think I believe in it too, but I hear her say it a lot. Keep a journal.
Yeah.
When you keep a journal, you can see at all the answered prayers, all the things he's done. And sometimes you need that reminder. I see Jesus reminding them, didn't we do the bread thing already one time?
Yeah.
Right? Like, I think we need that. You got to replace worry with worship. You know, I believe that worry is just you're worshiping the problem. You have a negative, you keep thinking negatively. Rather than thinking what God says. And then if you don't replace worry with worship, anxiety hits. So you flip it into prayer and praise, right? Community accountability.
Yeah.
That was important. Come on, hang out around people who remind you that God is trustworthy. You have to do those things, right? And so as we wrap it up, trust isn't a one-time decision. It's a daily walk. It's not easy, but it's worth it. If you're listening right now and you're struggling to trust God, don't quit.
Amen.
Listen, lean in. That's that lean in.
Buckle up.
Lean in, buckle up. He's the only one that won't fail you, man. Listen, you have to believe that no matter if it, you know, that you're a clear sign is that it lines up with the word.
Facts.
Right? Because he's not going to ever say something that contradicts his word.
Yeah. Even knowing his character, like, I feel like when you can bank on his goodness.
Ooh, you can bank.
Yeah, like that you could take that all the way to the bank, inside the bank, through the bank.
Yeah, but it has to be something that he signed the check.
Correct.
Like, he doesn't sign it.
If relationship, you know his character, you know what he's doing.
Yeah.
You know? So, I don't know.
And that accountability in friendships is important.
Yeah. For the guys in prison, like, I think it's important for them to ask themselves, where am I not trusting God? Yeah.
Even if you're not in the physical bars prison, but you're in prison out here.
Your mental prison.
Mental prison.
You're still in prison.
You're still in prison because you feel like there's no way out.
Facts.
When God says he is the way.
The truth and the life.
Pretty much. Like, so when you hear people even, you know, in Sunday service settings or in a service setting, and they're like, man, I don't feel like there's a way. It's like, no, his track record is phenomenal. There is a way.
Yeah.
He always gives us a way.
Yeah.
Who could rescue me from this body of death? Like, he always gives you a way. He parts things when there seems like there's no way.
Thank you, Lord.
He sends you to foreign places with a purpose and a plan. You know, again, stop waiting because we, you know, if you make everything right and then I'll do it. It's like, nah, that's not how faith works.
Yeah, amen.
Amen. So we love you guys. Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode. Don't forget to share this with your family. Don't forget October 21st. That's crazy. No, that's God. Get your copies. Pre-order now. It'll be there October 21st. Tell your friends. Tell your family. I believe it's my heart message. You know, for those that have been around me for a long time, I'm always like, that's crazy. No, that's God. I'm going to teach you and show you the that's God part so that you're not chasing the that's crazy. You're chasing the that's God, and the that's crazy will take care of itself. God bless y'all. Love y'all. Peace.
And that's a wrap. Thank you so much to all the real ones for joining us every single week. You can be a part of the crew by following us on all our social media outlets. Also, you can write us at P.O. Box 671-626, Houston, Texas 77267. And don't forget, stay real.